We are exploring the Love Wisconsin Project, an initiative of Wisconsin Humanities, on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Ken. Thanks for being here. So this is a digital storytelling project that celebrates our state, our lives, and our shared future. Those are the words they use to frame the project. Do you follow Love Wisconsin on Facebook? What do you love about the project and the stories they've unearthed, how they make you feel? Has hearing the story of someone changed your perception of them? 800-642-1234. Jen Rubin is executive producer of Love Wisconsin. Jen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on this morning.
Hi, so what are you trying to do with Love Wisconsin? What's going on here?
Well, so Love Wisconsin is a project of Wisconsin Humanities, and so they bring education and cultural programs to all corners of Wisconsin, and Love Wisconsin is one of them. And so we're trying to help Wisconsinites connect with each other, break down some of the barriers between us, and simply to help all of us meet people we share the state with that we might not otherwise have had a chance to meet.
How did it come about? What was the spark?
So two women, Megan Monday and Jet Weller, founded it, I think like 8 years ago. And I think it was this time of increasing polarization in the state. And everyone was sort of in their own social media silos. So they had this idea of what if we could create this space where people, of diverse political, political beliefs from different corners of the state could sort of be in the same space and read the same stories and meet the same people. And it was remarkably successful. We have more than 100,000 people that engage with us, that follow us on the various social media platforms. And we actually commissioned a study at the UW Center for Communication and Civic Renewal to see, with this thing we set out to do, is it really happening? Are we being successful? And found that actually we are very successful. People, we knew they were interacting with the stories at a very high rate, but now sort of data sort of showing that people are increasing their empathy and increasing their understanding of people with different life experiences.
Well, that's interesting because I, when I think of Facebook, I don't exactly think of empathy. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. No, they were super surprised. They were like, they sort of bolded this in the report that there is this absence of negativity, which was very unusual for Facebook, and that there was this element of community building. And they were very, we have never seen this before.
You are a super longtime storyteller. What makes a good story?
I think we all know stories that we love, the raw materials are there, really interesting things happen. But I think stories that any of us remember that stick with us, there's some thread of universality through it. Like a story that sort of shows an emotion that we all have, that's something we can connect with, even though this thing never happened to me or I never did that, I have felt that, And so I think a story that, takes someone's words and experiences, but sort of makes sure, you sort of show that more universal thread that, we've all felt anger, we've all felt fear, we've all felt joy. I think that kind of thing is what really makes a story stick with us.
There's this mantra from The Moth, and I know you're involved in The Moth, and it's your story, your struggles. And I really like that because to me, the tension has to be there, but your involvement in the events as they unfold are really essential.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think The Moth also has this thing that I really value, and I do storytelling workshops and, share this a lot, which is that you should tell stories from your scars and not your wounds. Because I think it's easier for someone to listen to or read or absorb something difficult that, doesn't, it's still not very raw, so we all have a little perspective to kind of think a little more deeply about that.
And before we go on here, I'm really curious, and I know you co-produced The Moth Madison, and how moth stories are told, they're not read, and how, they want the storyteller to connect with the audience where there isn't a page or a paper between them. And I'm wondering how you feel about that, whether you find it's different for a storyteller to read something to you versus to tell you directly.
Yeah, so I think, it's interesting for me sort of doing The Moth and in-person live storytelling things and then doing Love Wisconsin, right? Because the Love Wisconsin, we are reading what someone's words, but it still has that same feel to it, because what we do with Love Wisconsin is we'll interview someone, and so we'll get their interview transcribed. So it's their actual words, right? Yeah. And then we kind of shape their words into a story arc. So it still has that. I think that's a similarity because it has a very sort of live present feeling. But I think thinking about the moth or doing live storytelling, I think anyone who's ever heard someone tell a story, you can tell the difference as to whether someone's just sort of telling it and in the moment and thinking about it as they're doing it versus if they're reading it. Because there's a different level of engagement, and there's just a little different level of being in the story. And as, I can't quite describe it, but if you should come to the moth sometime, and you'll be able to tell the difference.
I'm going to reintroduce you. We're talking with veteran storyteller and executive producer of Love Wisconsin. Jen Rubin is here, and you can join in with your questions. And how has hearing the personal story of someone changed your life? Are you familiar with Love Wisconsin on Facebook and follow these stories? 800-642-1234. So you started creating this mini series of people with similar jobs or similar characteristics as a way to connect people. Can you tell us about this mini series and what it is like to be a poll worker?
Yeah, so I started, you know, so when I started at Wisconsin, the whole idea of, you know, I loved the whole idea of Love Wisconsin. And so, you know, I feel like whether you look at a poll worker or a municipal worker or a musician, the idea of like, let's find someone from different corners of the state, you know, the five or six people, and sort of tell their stories and just sort of show how things are similar and things are different in a city or a small town. But the first one I did was poll worker because we were heading into the 2020 election. You know, there's a lot of mistrust with the election process, how votes are counted, all of that. And as a longtime poll worker myself, I thought it could be valuable to feature 10 poll workers from different corners of the state just to show who are these people that, you know, step up and volunteer. And through their stories, I was hoping to show the safeguards that are in place and how counting votes actually happens. So, for example, we had Juby Simonson from a town of 600 in Walwick. And, you know, she knew everyone. She gives out cookies. You know, and then there was Leanne White from Lac du Flambeau, who, you know, wants tribal members to see a friendly face when they come in to vote, since it wasn't always such a welcoming place, and so on, you know, eight other people, and, you know, each one showing how it plays out very differently in their communities, but also through their stories showing, like I said, sort of there are safeguards in place in terms of how our voting happens and how it's counted.
Well, why don't you share an excerpt of Juby's story that you can read for us?
Sure. So in the beginning of the story, you know, we talk about how she makes cookies for everyone and the real sort of, you know, small town feel of it. But I really like, well, I'll just read this whole thing, but I really like the last sentence. So she says, although we only have about 300 registered voters in the whole township, in 2016, we had nearly 90% of those voters vote. I was proud to live in such an engaged township. I don't keep track of voting percentages for other townships, but I'm always encouraging our township to say, hey, we had 3% more turnout than X township, just to have fun, keep people on their toes, and send the message that voting is important. I'm a firm believer that an informed, involved electorate is the key to democracy. I just firmly believe that I don't have to like your politics, but it is important to me that you vote.
I just firmly believe that I don't have to like your politics, but it is important to me that you vote. And that line in particular really stuck with you.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that's, you know, that's at the heart of being a poll worker and sort of how, you know, the machinery of our democracy works.
Well, in our last couple seconds here, what's next for Love Wisconsin? Where are you taking it?
Well, you know, we're continuing to you know, put out stories and gather stories. I'm actually particularly interested right now. I'm going to feature a story of someone who is a Holocaust survivor, someone who's a child of a Holocaust survivor who volunteers in schools to teach the Holocaust, and then someone whose profession is to teach the Holocaust in schools. It seems like it's a good time for these stories.
Well, Jen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jen Rubin, executive producer of Love Wisconsin, and we have a link to Love Wisconsin at WPR.org/mornings. Coming up, we talk with another candidate vying to be Milwaukee's next mayor. We hear from Aisha Griffin. What challenges and opportunities do you want the next mayor to act on? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network.